Welcome to the Startup Dentist Podcast. I'm your host, Stephen Trutter. After over 800 plus successful dental startups, I'm here to share everything I know about starting a profitable and purposeful dental practice with you. In each episode, we get right to the core of what it takes to launch and grow a successful dental practice. So whether you've just started researching dental startups or you've been sitting on the fence for a while, this podcast is your personal roadmap to your very own dental practice. Let's get into it. Welcome back to the show, everybody. Super excited for today's episode. If you are an associate thinking about practice ownership, and one of the big things that you're focused on is maybe even buying a practice, and I know this is the Startup Dentist Podcast, but recently I talked about acquisitions and how there's a lot of similarities between acquisitions and startups. And more importantly, when you're buying a practice, it's not just about the transaction. And it's not just about like on Friday you close and Monday you know how to own a practice. But more importantly, to understand the proper steps so that you can take a practice, successfully transition it, impart your vision, and truly own a practice with confidence. So check out my most recent episode where I talk about some of the common pitfalls that I see over the last two decades that I've been a part of acquisition. So check out that episode. Today, we're diving into a topic that almost every startup dentist and their spouse can relate to, but very few people actually openly talk about. And it's about how to launch your dental practice and how it can have an effect, and I hope a positive effect, on your marriage. So so when you're in dental school or you're in your associate position, the dream of ownership feels exciting. There's freedom, there's control, the ability to build your ideal practice. But once you step into the startup world, the reality hits hard. Long hours, financial stress, the emotional ups and downs, the real strain at home. So if you're thinking about starting your own practice, then this episode is definitely for you. So the emotional, the financial, and the relational impact of starting your own dental practice and what couples can do to survive it and come out stronger. So let's begin here because I've got two special guests that are going to share their journey. They did disclose to me that they're still wearing wedding bands. So they've gone through the startup journey and they're coming out on the other end of this. So I have here, I'm proud to introduce a graduate of Ideal Practices, Dr. Dan Dinowitz, and his lovely wife, Michelle. So Dan, Michelle, thank you for joining here. They are the owners of Voorhees Pediatric Dentistry in Voorhees, New Jersey. He does have blue hair. He'll tell you more about why he has blue hair. I am not surprised that Dan has blue hair. So
me either.
I'm super excited to have you both here. So how are you both doing today?
Great. Thank you so much for having us, Steve.
Thank you.
I've never heard a voice that was more apt for podcasting than yours.
Really?
Your voice is like quintessential podcasting voice.
Well, you know, I always wanted to do radio announcing. No, I never did, but you know, it's like having a good microphone definitely helps out with that.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Great to hear from you guys. All right. So here's the reality. You're not just an associate, but now you're the CEO. You're a marketer, you're a recruiter. And you still have to be a human being with a family. So Dan, Michelle, like walk us through like a little bit of that journey of like, okay, all wearing these different hats, but tell us a little bit about even your startup journey. And we were talking offline about like the beginning, the before, the kind of the middle. So kind of give us that beginning part, if you would.
So yeah, you know, being a dental associate, I'm not going to say it's easy, but it's typically very like a singular role. Like you go to work, you know, 9 to 5, whatever your hours are, and you do what you got to do. You go home and you don't think about it after, usually. Since the day that we initiated doing our startup with Ideal, there was, very, very instantly that feeling that we knew we were going to be wearing multiple hats every day. And, you know, working with Ideal, and that was, 18 months leading up to opening day, it was very much like a boot camp that prepared us for that feeling. And so it prepared us for, wearing all the hats of being a practice owner. It prepared Michelle and I think, for the realities of practice ownership, what we'd expect, how it would affect our personal and family life. It gave us that insight going forward to be able to plan for that rather than just kind of stepping into it and like, let's see what happens. Like, we were able to be more
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, love that. And Michelle, what's your role? Like, are you in the practice? So like, there's always like, do spouses work in practices? Yeah. Should you work in practices?
Yeah.
Should you keep a safe distance? So, you know, what is that role? So, or what is the role morphed into these days?
It's changing all the time. Yeah. You know, I wasn't, when we were first starting this journey, I thought, I don't have anything to do with dentistry and my other career. I can't really see myself working in a dental office. But then it quickly became apparent to me, this isn't about if I'm in dentistry. This is our family business, right? So like I really wanted to succeed. And I, when we came, you know, out to Vegas and, and met you and everything, it was also exciting. I think it was also just like the prep, the startup journey of, you know, going through the designs and really putting our stamp on it. And I wasn't going to have him just like sit in a room by himself and not not be interested. And I just found myself being very interested in it and having a lot of fun with it as well. And so my role has definitely evolved. It's different every day. And also because sometimes, I mean, I have seen like Facebook posts of people saying like, oh, if you see a husband and wife team, run, you know? So I don't see myself as that, and I would hope that our team doesn't see me as that either.
Yes. I can see that dynamic sometimes. Like, is she kind of the boss? But no, like this is family. You know, like you've treated this like family.
Right. So my role. I mean, I'll help with the marketing, help with just being a support system. I also have been the tooth fairy. We go around to different schools, and I play a ukulele and Dan reads, and we kind of made up this whole
song and dance
story time for our kids. I have done a lot of that.
Is like a date night too, but during the day.
Yeah, we're always like, we have a date night.
I like that. I like that. Finding time wherever there is time.
Yeah. And then, you know, I'll help with insurance verification, those types of things. Like, you know, our team member the other day said that she, you know, had a lot of paperwork to catch up on. So I'll say, okay, I'm going to be here for the phones. And so it's always a little bit different. And I'm always wondering how to act. And, you know, in the beginning, I'm like, oh, do I sit in on the interviews? Do I sit out? Do I, you know, like what, who am I? So I honestly, I can't say.
What if she had the authority to say?
Right.
We just like don't know. Like sometimes we're still figuring this out.
Yeah, we're still figuring it out.
But like, you know, who does our team go to for final decisions? Like most of the time it's been me, but I don't want it to always just be me because I value, you know, of course, Michelle's opinion and also my team members.
Yeah.
We also have, you know, become hands off in certain aspects with giving them some freedom to make, you know, important decisions by themselves.
Love that.
But I'm also in every day. So it's not like I'm here. You know, I'm in a couple of days a week, pretty consistently. And so, you know, it changes. And I'm not sure as the team grows what it will be like. I did sit in a round of interviews for a hygienist. So, you know, but it is kind of a little bit of an interesting identity crisis being.
And it's still new. It's a new baby. Like, you know, it's there. What I love is like, I'll brag, like two of you, I see all their Facebook. So, you know, like if you don't know who Dr. Dan is, like you need to see Dr. Dan on Facebook. You embrace that model of like getting out there, connecting your community. Both of you, I see you all over. And I think that's so valuable for what you guys have accomplished in a short period of time. Hey there, Startup Dentist Podcast listeners. It's Steven Trotter here, taking a quick break from today's episode to share something special with you. If you're dreaming of owning your own dental practice, then you need to get your hands on our Startup Dentist book. This isn't just any book. It's a 200-plus page comprehensive guide that covers everything you need to know to start a successful dental practice. From picking the perfect location to designing a patient-friendly office to building a marketing plan that draws in your ideal patients, we've got you covered. This book is packed with insider tips and real-world strategies. tell me a little bit about and share with like some of the, okay, there's dream and reality. There's like, I remember meeting you guys in Vegas and it's like, we're ready to go. Let's do this. And then, you know, and then there's like a little bit of that reality. So the emotional side, there's working a lot. How do you avoid like the stress spilling over into the home? Working a lot of hours from that emotional perspective, especially in the beginning.
Yeah. You don't avoid it. You just learn to manage it. And that comes with time and experience and seeing things more than once. So, everything in the first year was for the first time. And once you get past, you know, that first year, then you're like, okay, I've seen this. It's not the end of the world. The practice is not going to, burn down, right now. So, I think, yeah, it comes with experience and just seeing every situation once and also having a community of, friends in the industry and dentistry that, you can, bounce ideas off of. Have you seen it before? What have you done here?
That's awesome. The emotional side's always there. Because there is that excitement. I remember opening up Ideal Practices 10 years ago, same thing. It's like exciting. And then there's like, there is a different part. And, you know, my spouse, Megan, was a part of that as well. So the financial part is there too. There's always a little bit of stress. So like, I'm sure like you come out of dental school, you owe a couple dollars and then you come to us and you go, and we say, you got to borrow a lot more to do this. So, was there any challenges that were there or discussions just about that, like internally from, you know, the financial side? And because it is a big commitment.
I always like to joke that I was just the right amount of naive to start dental practice, because if I had overanalyzed it too much, and I am guilty of paralysis by analysis sometimes for sure, but I knew what it would cost, but it was kind of such a comically large number that I was like, all right, what's the difference between, you know, half a mil and a mil, let's go for it. You know, we got what it takes. We got good people, you know, behind us, helping us with this. So, surprisingly, the financial part didn't scare me, even though we were building $1 million practice and building a new construction home, which is a whole nother set of stress. But like the financial,
that's a different podcast. That's a different podcast. We'll talk about it.
That wasn't it. It was more just like every minute of every day since our vision call was about this startup. And so we would go to work. I'd be working at my associateship full time, come home. We got kids, dinner time, everything, bedtime. And then finally, then we'd get on, you know, a video chat with one of the fine people at Ideal for, you know, 1, 2, sometimes 3 hours. And I'm very grateful for the flexibility they had. But point is, you manage the stress just by getting used to things, but supportive spouse too.
How did the time thing work? That's a great topic, because I there is time in like, you have time in a lot of times with a startup, but I think everyone understands this. There is a big time commitment. You have long hours as a new owner. You've got maybe morning team meetings. You maybe have, I know you've done after hours events, weekend events. I'll call Michelle the spousal hero. Are there things that you've had to take over? And then how did you guys manage the time, you know, within that? Because I'm sure Dan was pulled away into the practice. Both of you were there and with two children as well. So I think that's a reality. There are boundaries and things like that you spoke about, or was it just like being present when you needed to be present at that particular time? But tell us a little bit about that time.
Yeah. I mean,
challenge or stress.
I mean, it definitely takes a lot of time. I will say that we are, I'm not sure about, first of all, Dan, like one of his biggest visions was to be able to be present with the kids and to make, and me. No, but we were lucky in one way is that he used to have a commute that was like an hour to an hour and a half. And now we live 10 minutes from the office, which was very purposeful. So, So it's kind of like a give and take. Yeah, maybe he has to put more time in, but the commute, he's just home much earlier. So that's helpful. But there are definitely times where, you know, with social media and things like that, he'll say like, oh, I see you're giving
like he's posting right now.
Or like sometimes I'll come up with something. And like, I was just thinking of this example. There was a time very early on where I said, oh, if you want to get more reviews, like, I think that you should write a personalized message to every patient from the day, like a personalized text message. And then I didn't realize that that was like not a great idea. It did work, but it was like, then every night he was like sitting doing that. I was like,
during the worst time, which is like,
It was like kids going to bed. He's like, I have to write my review texts. And so that will happen where it's like, oh, I'm wearing my business hat. I'm like, this would be a great idea. And then in the moment I'm like,
I need to get, you know, flicked in the head sometimes, figuratively from her. Cause I use social media a lot, in my for marketing. And that brain, the marketing brain, never turns off. That's what keeps me, I don't want to say up at night, but like that's what follows me after 5 p.m. All the time, especially as a startup, you're always recruiting new patients. And I always have ideas for, you know, new reels, whether educational or silly. And I'm posting them during hours that are great for other parents to see, which take a few minutes during dinner time, during, you know, 7, 8 p.m., and I do need reminders.
We were in Reading Terminal Market in Philly.
Oh yeah,
over the it was awesome.
Pick me up some Amish sticky buns next time you're there, if you would. They are my favorite.
And he was like, you know, the kids were being crazy. You know, it was wild, and it's like crowded. I'm wearing my jacket. I'm hot. And then he's like, just 2 minutes. Like, I'm just going to go do a video. And I'm just like, okay, great. You know, and I understand it and I'm supportive of it. So we don't have any like set boundaries about it, but I think what it is sometimes if I start losing him to the phone, I was like, can you just like, let me know what you're doing? So like, I know when you're going to return, you know what I mean? Like, okay, I'm just working on this for 20 minutes. Let me, you know, then it's better than if I'm like,
But I think that's a real look, you know, for Michelle and Dan, for both of you. I think it's a real look because as a startup, it is all hands on deck and like you got to be immersed in that. So, what I could tell from the two of you is like, there's that balance that exists. Like, okay, I got to go do this, but I'll say this, like, Dan, you have launched a successful startup practice. Your social media is great. And I think for the listeners, you have to understand, like, that's what you have to do. Yeah. We always say, like, the first 100 patients are on you as a client. No Google ads. Like, you need to find those patients from day one. But see, by putting in that time now, look what you have now after a handful of months of what you're doing. And I'll say this, like, folks, he's fee for service as a pediatric dentist. Mm-hmm. Like, Dan, you're doing a lot and it's like, it's accomplishing, but that's okay. We all get flicked in the head. That's what we get.
And I understand it for sure. So it's interesting because he's, you know, I'll get sucked into it too. Like sometimes I've said, oh, we should do a video or whatever. You know, it is hard to not get sucked in a little bit because it's our livelihood.
I think for advice, you know, it's in a healthy relationship and marriage going into it, like, understanding that if like she gets mad at me bothered because of the, so, like, because of like being in the middle of something, understand the place it's coming from. Like, I know she's saying it because she wants to spend more time with me. She wants me to be with the kids. It's not just because she wants to arbitrarily be mad at me. You know, you know, if she didn't care, like if she didn't say anything, that would be more concerning.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, yeah, go get lost, please. Like, don't come back.
We don't need.
Yeah, and there is sacrifice. Like, we all, there's sacrifice. Michelle, you've sacrificed, Dan. Like, we all, as business owners, have done startups. It's like, there is that sacrifice. But I think it's always being present with one another, which I could tell, like, you guys have supported each other throughout this journey. So I think that's the great news is, like, this is all reality that everyone needs to hear. Like, these are the commitments that need to be made. These are the challenges that exist. But I think what you said earlier was that, I'll usually say it this way, but this is not just like Dan's practice. This is like kind of like a family future with the practice. So talk a little bit more about that, because I think there's always like, okay, Dan, you go do this. It's practice, but you've really embraced it from hey, this is our journey together.
Yeah.
Share some of your thoughts on that.
Yeah, we're in this together. This has to succeed. You know, seeing it at its very baby phase and then seeing it, you know, where it is now. I mean, I also have to be there for Dan. You know, especially in the beginning, you talk about the emotional side. In the beginning, it is absolutely terrifying.
That is real, folks. Yes, it is. Yeah. We prepare everybody. This will hurt. Yes, it's not easy.
And I'm normally not the calm one, but I somehow like took that role over. I mean, I'm just being.
I'm normally the nervous one. Any Seinfeld fans out there? I'm the even Steven.
Yeah.
And that certainly flipped when we opened.
Yeah. So I had to kind of put things into perspective for him a lot, and like, you're not going to be in the same place you are now that you are in a year. Nothing ever stays the same. Like, you know, everything's going to be different. You're going to know more. Like he said, you're going to see more. And so now, like, I remember one day, you know, there are a lot of highs and lows, like, you know, from one day, a bunch of patients cancel. And especially in the beginning, it was like, you would like fall apart. Like it's like the weekend felt like, you know, like, oh no, like these canceled for Monday. And now like, it's like, okay, we've seen that and we can start to reach out and see if there are people to fill it. But
I would let, because, you know, we have advanced patient communication software now. And so I get text messages on Saturday and Sunday to my phone, notifications, you know, cancel. And like in the beginning, when we didn't really have our you know, script figured out perfectly yet, like we'd get a lot of cancellations over the weekend from Monday or Tuesday.
Yeah.
That would ruin my weekend, you know. Oh my God. It just, it just took the life out of me. Time is our best friend, you know, just like waiting for the recall cycles to turn over. But, that, you know, that I certainly let a lot of weekends in the beginning be ruined just by, you know, not having perspective.
Yes.
But that's a reality. Mm-hmm. Like folks, like those happens with startups. So I think it's real, you know, like to hear this. What is there one thing that surprised you, like just in the startup process itself, like as a married couple or just even during the process, anything that kind of stood out that surprised you?
I would say that it's fun.
I didn't see that at first.
I don't think that he would have described it as fun at the beginning when everything was really tough. But I always said to him, like, oh, it's like a game. Like, we have to try different things and like see what works and what doesn't. And so to me, it felt almost like a puzzle. And
I found building it so fun. You know, I love the design and everything. And when it came to like building the schedule, and we are fee for service, so it's like slower to build. That was like the cancellations. That was very demoralizing in the beginning. But Michelle had, you know, a good perspective of like, let's troubleshoot this and figure it out.
The other thing that was challenging was that he had a great reputation in his associateship, and then we moved to a place where no one knew who he was. So. We were not only, you know, fee for service, but no one knew who he was. So he had, you know.
And I thought you end up doing things like dyeing your hair blue.
No, but he had to start to build that reputation. But because it was hard to sometimes get people to come in because, you know, you're saying, oh, it's going to be X amount of money, they're like, well, I don't, you know, well, why don't I go to this other person? But then you start to see people start to want to come back because they start to see your reputation being built. And the word travels, and so it's just like a little bit different. You get a little bit more confidence in that regard once you start to build the reputation. Also, Dan is a pajama dentist.
Yes. What is the pajama dentist for the listeners?
Yeah. The pajama dentist was everything I didn't want to be, and now I love being it. So a pajama dentist is when you practice in or near the community that you live in. And when I was trying to find a space, I said, I want to practice at least 30, you know, like 30-ish minutes away from where I live. That way I have little separation.
A buffer.
when you go to the grocery store, you can wear pajamas and kind of not care what you look like, because you probably won't run into a patient. Well, when we found our office that was 10 minutes away, that kind of, when we found an ideal space that was 10 minutes away and all the other demographics, lined up, we kind of fell in love with not having a commute. And I flipped the script and I decided, all right, let's just go for it. And I was very scared to be living in this, in the same town where I practice.
Yeah.
Because I thought I would never be able to turn off the switch. Well, you never turn off the switch anyway as a business owner. So why not get, good marketing out of it? And so, I'm a real person, and I don't mind showing up to the supermarket in my pajamas and silly blue hair. It has served as an advantage because I'm in my community. Every interaction, every event is, sometimes an opportunity to, spread the word about what we're doing just in an organic way, like organic outreach or an organic involvement in the community is free and more effective because you're not meeting people under these pretenses of like, I'm here to sell you something. You're just,
You were going to be there anyway.
Yeah. And I think there's that barrier that gets broken down sometimes. I think a lot of times there is like, you're behind the scenes, you're Dan. Behind the scenes, you can be Dan. And I think a lot of times it's hard to, I think a lot of people like patients or families around an area, it's like, they need to be able to look at you through that lens, not just, oh, it's Dr. Dinowitz. It's just Dan. You could be that normal guy, but even with blue hair walking around.
I don't know.
Yeah, exactly. So the pajama dentist, we talked about that at the course. I talked about that. You were one of the first people that ever got the copy of my book, The Startup Dentist book. And we talked about that. And I love the fact you embrace that. Again, there's no advantage, folks, or disadvantage to like, should you live in a community? But you heard here, like it's become an advantage of being able to connect with the community. Does it allow you to turn things off? No, I still think the advantages outweigh the disadvantages of being there within a community. What are some of the things you do within your community? Okay, so I just got to bring it up. Tell everybody about the blue hair. So if you're not watching this, you're listening to this. Dr. Dan has blue hair. it looks beautiful. So it's kind of smurfed. And a smurf like here. And one of the big things we talk about at Ideal Practices, we talk about the KRG. How do you want to be known? How do you want to be remembered? And what do you want to give back to? So the give is a big part of the connection to the community. That's one big thing we develop with our clients nationwide. So Dan has a give that is personal to Michelle and their family. Mm-hmm. So he has blue hair. So what do you do?
So our give back is that we work to raise awareness and also research money for research towards a cure of type 1 diabetes, which my wonderful wife over here has and was diagnosed with about 3 years ago.
The organization is Breakthrough T1D.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
T1D.
Breakthrough T1D through various small and large community events. To raise awareness and also better the lives of families who, people with T1D and also, those, loved ones, and family members. So we did, their big event every year is a walk, for awareness. And in Philadelphia, they do it, at Citizens Bank Park where the Phillies play. You walk around the stadium and then inside right on the diamond, which is a really cool experience. And we wanted to make, a big impact this year. So we set a large goal, a large fundraising goal. And I said, if we can reach that number, I am going to dye my hair the color of type 1 diabetes awareness month, which is Smurf Blue for the month of November. So my receptionist, she has a background in cosmetology. She bleached my hair and then we did electric blue. And we documented the whole thing on social media, and it's been great and fun because now I'm like walking into my into my kids' like preschool pickup and going into our synagogue, and you get a lot of like laughs and smiles and a good conversation starter, and a great way to raise awareness even more so than the big event that we did, it's now like every day this month and really probably the next month too.
It doesn't seem to be going away. I will say that.
Yeah.
It's pretty fresh. Yeah, right? Absolutely. I love it. I love it. Are there any do's and don'ts that you would say to couples going through this journey?
Do communicate. Do not hide what you're feeling. As a man, I definitely tend to want to mask the, you know, scary parts. I don't want to show my fear of, you know, of the realities of startup business. And, you know, when things don't go the way I want them to, especially in the beginning, you kind of have these bad thoughts about like, did I get myself into the right thing? You know, is this going to work out? Is it not going to work out? And I'd hold that in, and then it would very much show on my face and my skin. And then Michelle would be there to listen. Thank God. There was, something we referred to, when we first moved down here and our house wasn't ready to move into yet. We were living in a temporary rental. It was one bedroom. It was insane for two adults and two kids, but that's besides the point. In the living room, there was a regular couch, and then on the other side of the living room, a chair. Yeah, and we called it. It became belovedly known as the sad chair because I would. Yes, we laugh about it now. We home after work, and I would just plot there and just sit there and like you know, listeners aren't going to see my face right now, but I would sit there with my eyes wide open and just like I don't know what just happened. I don't know if this is going to work out. Like I wouldn't say that stuff out loud. It would just be showing on my face, and it would take me a little time of unwinding before I would, you know, open up to Michelle. That was the sad chair.
It was a sad chair, but I would say don't think that you're not involved if you're not in dentistry. That's what I'm saying. Like, you can, and don't think you have to know right from the beginning. You can be involved in a small way. You can be involved in a big way. But I think, like, don't let your partner go at it alone in terms of at least like being able to talk to you about things and just like realize that there are, going to be, you know, difficult moments, and, you know, you might have to take on that role of, you know, you have to be a little bit of the rock. And, I would say have an open mind, even if your role is you come to a tabling events, you never go into the office, but you do tabling events, you know, like that sort of thing. I think just seeing it as that family business rather than like, oh, this is like, you know, my spouse's thing.
And
of course, maybe it depends also how much you work as well, right? I work more part time, so I'm able to do that. It was also kind of a decision that I, it kind of a fork in the road for my career. You know, I realize I do continue to like, you know, we'll see where it goes in the future, but to have my own thing, I have a work a couple days myself, and to also be here because it's the family business. So just like not seeing it as just that other person's thing. And again, if you are able to do that, even if you have a very stressful job yourself as a spouse, like just being an ear, like don't let it be like, oh, what's going on with that practice? Like we haven't, you know, like once a month, you know, like it's
something
that you're in together. However it is, even if you're just someone to listen.
Yeah, I think that's so important. And we've worked with so many spouses at Ideal Practices and where the spouse wasn't a dentist, but I still think the support needs to be there. And that's one thing we always try to understand is like, okay, what is the involvement of the spouse? We want them being engaged in this process because boy, it makes it a lot easier when you got somebody that's at least there as a sounding board. Somebody there, like you said, as the rock, somebody there. And I talked to I'll say this, even after 10 years of owning Ideal Practices, it's like, there are still stresses in our business. And it's like, well, I could talk to my wife. A lot of times I talk to Megan about it. I'll say this as 10 years from today, you'll have these conversations and sometimes her face will kind of glaze over. Like she doesn't know, but she just listens. And sometimes I just need to be like, I just need to say this and talk to you about this. Yeah. But there's also, I get a different perspective sometimes, you know, and it's having that person there is so important. And if you don't, that's fine. And just saying, like, I think from a marriage perspective, it's like, how do you balance all this going to a startup? So,
yeah.
I love that. Okay. So here's what I'm going to end with. I'm going to chat through a few more things is kind of as a recap. I think communication. Right. Communication is key. I think at every stage of the process, what's happening? You didn't mention any boundaries, but I think sometimes do you need to set some elements that are there? I think it's valuable to, and Dan, this will be something you should work on. So here's, you know, an action item. So you're still, you know, a client. So you're, I'm giving you action. It's like, be Dr. Dan, be Dan the husband, be Dan the dad when you need to be those roles. And I always say that. And I know that takes time, in the beginning. So don't, I think just be honest with one another. You guys were very honest with one another. It's like, I need to work. You let Dan like go do social media at Reading Terminal, which is always crowded and hot, exactly. No matter what time of the year that it is.
Yes.
I think, but allow that outlet to be there. And I think the other thing is like, reframe this process as a partnership. Mm-hmm. I think you talked about that is, it's not just Dan's doing this practice thing on the side.
Yeah.
It's you guys have really said, well, this is a family business and we're going to treat it as such.
Yeah.
Do you have little dentists that are going to come up? You have any? Mm-hmm. With your children?
Oh, do they?
Yeah.
Do our kids want to be dentists? One did for a little while, but I haven't heard
that.
Now
he wants to be a genie.
He wants to be a singer.
Yes. So yeah, potentially. But they, you know, the kids are very much a part of the practice too, and sometimes I take ideas from them. You know, they're you know, innocent kid minds come up with some really creative ideas that I literally have implemented in the practice.
And
get them on the payroll away from a financial perspective. Get them on the payroll too. Talk with your accountant about that. That is not accounting advice for those that are listening.
Well, it's funny because once we were at a tabling event and our son was like chasing people down, like very aggressively giving our flyers. But I will say that I think 3 and a half, that's how old our daughter is. I think she's like off limits from future events. I adore her, but like at some point, you know, and that's the thing is like, cause we want to have the whole family involved, but if you're doing tabling and you got the 3-year-old, like, that's
too much.
Yeah. It is sometimes, you know, we don't want to pay for a sitter. We, you know, we're trying to sleep money, things like that. But sometimes I just have to be like, this is, next time.
Yeah.
Maybe when she's older, but.
I love it. How long you been open now?
About 17 months. Yeah, 18 months next month. Yeah.
How are you guys feeling now after 17 months? If you look back, like some of the emotional element, you know, things that you went through, like how are you feeling today?
Happy. And optimistic, for sure. You know, the growth, trajectory, it's certainly, been encouraging. I'm really excited for the next step of growth in our practice, which is, bringing on a hygienist, in the coming months. I'm very proud of like the relationship that, we've developed with not just our community, but also our team. Trying to now replicate that with adding, finally growing the team for the first time since our initial hires, is kind of the next, thing that's been on my mind a lot because in our practice, we place such a high, stress on customer service, taking time with patients and making sure that we get that right person is critical, and also keeping our current team happy and
and you've realized your vision, you know, like for folks like fee for service is not easy, and that's a different topic for a different time. I'll talk through fee for service versus those elements, but you were committed to that vision and like I'm so proud that our team got to play a role and continue to play a role with you guys, and I'm so happy that you got to spend this time here today and take time away. Give us, where can people find you? I can tell you where I can tell them. Where can they find Where can they find Dr.
If you want to follow along my journey, which is always changing and evolving, you can find me on Instagram and TikTok at Dr. Dan, your kid's dentist. And on Facebook, it's my practice name, Voorhees Pediatric Dentistry.
Love it. Love it. Folks, starting a dental practice is one of the biggest professional decisions you can make, and it can have great effects. But it has effects on your marriage. But here's the truth. You can navigate the stress, the long hours and the pressure. If you communicate, set expectations and support each other intentionally. And when you get on the other side of this, practice stabilizes. You've got a team that's solid. Your patient base can grow, and you can look back. Everyone can look back on this journey and say, you just didn't build a business, but you built something that maybe even strengthened a partnership between you and your spouse. So I'm really proud. Mm-hmm. So awesome stuff. Dan, Michelle, thank you for spending time in between patients here today. I truly appreciate it. Thanks for listening today. If this episode resonated with you, leave a rating. Check out any show notes for any resources that we talked about next time. Because I'm going to talk about fee for service, and I've got a great guest who has started her practice as in network, but now has a fee for service practice. And we're going to talk about that process and what that is, because a lot of people have that choice. Should I do this or should I do this way? So don't check us out there. So next time we're going to dive into fee for service or in network. How do I get there? So I'll see you guys there. Thanks, everybody.
Totally a good one.
I'm looking forward to hearing that one.
Yeah. Thank you so much, Stephen. It was so nice talking to you.
You as well. Thank you.
As we wrap up this episode, take a moment to picture yourself a year from now. Are you still in your associateship? Or are you rocking it at your own dental practice, creating beautiful smiles and making a real difference? If that's the dream, it's time to chase it. Before we split, make sure to hit subscribe, drop a review, and give us your rating. It helps us keep bringing you the good stuff that you're into. Until we meet again, keep taking that next step towards your future practice. Here's to investing in your dreams and making them a reality.